yesterday? No, it was today. Anyways, sir, so you went to Oklahoma City earlier this week to talk to legislators. Of course, where the state has a budget deficit going on right now. And everybody's going to get cut, of course. Nobody's going to escape unscathed. But you and some other county commissioners from all over the state went to talk to our legislators. And can you tell us a little bit about what you talked with?
I went with Randy Robinson from ACCO. And he did all the talking, and I was kind of just listening to the Transportation Commission. They were listening to Randy, you know, so they bring this up to the legislatures to tell them our plight, what we're trying, wishing they'd, hopefully they don't take away all our money. And I do know that, you know, we're in a crunch, the state is in a crunch, so we're going to have to bend a little bit. We talked about our highway cash that they want to put a cap on. That's money that we operate on through the year for our roads and gravel roads and chip seal roads and all that. And if that gets capped, it's be very, very difficult to maintain. We'd probably have to look at maybe laying off some people and so forth like that. And we really don't want to do that because we got 162 miles of road in just in my district, and I need to have people that can mow the lawn, mow the grass, and keep the road safe for all the people that travel on there. And that's been my deal for the last 3.5 years now.
Okay.
Safety is one of my greatest importance. I want people to be able to travel the road safe. But anyway, getting back to the Capitol, yes, I did, and I spent about an hour there listening to them, and they were very receptive, and they kind of felt, the majority when they were talking with Randy kind of said, well, I can really see where taking the, putting a cap on our highway funds would be, our highway cash would be detrimental to the counties. So we're hoping that that won't happen. We do have a legislative meeting every month at ACCO, and I will particularly be going down every month to be there to find out what's going on and bring you back further news on what's happening throughout the state.
Okay. The highway cash is used for, okay, that's not for wages.
It is used for our wages.
Okay.
And that's for just our road crews and stuff.
Okay. All right. So if that was cut, then you would have, that's where the layoffs would come
right.
in.
Right. And
okay.
It takes care of, we have to pay our gravel and stuff through that, and our oil and our gasolines and
maintenance,
all that stuff.
Okay. All right. And then other expenses like equipment and stuff like that, that comes from different funding, right?
Well, the equipment, we have different funds for different things. We have capital outlay for, you know, our big stuff that
you're gonna purchase something.
We're going to purchase, and there's a fund in there, and we can get a emergency transportation fund that we get from our CED. That gives us, we have to borrow it, it's interest free, but we have to pay it back in a year, so it's not, you know,
it's not free money.
It's not free money, exactly.
Okay, all right. And now, so you've went to talk to state legislators, and now you're back here, and it might be spring soon. We'll have to see what happens. But at this time of year, what kind of things are your crews taking care of? They're doing like prep work for the spring when you get real busy, or how does that go?
I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people don't understand what we do in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, this year it's been pretty nice. We've had a lot of rain. But when it rains, you know, we got to go back over the roads and blade them. And re-gravel them, And there's a lot of work. You know, every time it rains, we got to do that over again. We start from the north of the county and go to the south. So people say, well, nobody's been down here yet. Well, you know, it's because we started the north. If we started from the north and jumped down to the south, we'd be jumping around all the time.
And but you're talking not about the paved roads then, you're talking about gravel roads that are gravel or dirt. Okay.
And then we go through and we pothole patch too when it's not freezing.
Right.
That pothole, we use a coal patch, but it doesn't stick very good either. But this is the time of year where we take a road, like right now we're doing 2100 east of New Harmony Baptist Church.
Okay.
And we reclaim that road to get the base solid. And we have a machine called a BOMAG, and it gets in there and chews this up about 6 inches deep, 8 inches deep, depending on what we run into, and we make the road wider, and we gravel it and put lime on it to solidify the road so we get a good base. If you don't have a good base, you're wasting your money and wasting the taxpayers' money. So when people complain, well, I got to drive on this gravel road or it's dusty, just think, you know, come
it'll
later
be
in the
nice.
Spring, it'll be nice.
Yeah, when you're done.
And, you know, the other drawback to that, when it's nice, you know, you're going to have people going a lot
too
faster.
Too fast, yeah. Yeah.
That's what we run into. But this is what we do during the wintertime. We don't have a whole lot of mowing. We just bought a new trenching machine, which means that along our side trenches, where along the roadway, it cuts out a nice U-shape trench for the water to go down through.
Oh, right,
about
8 inches deep. Sit on the road. Okay.
And it's so much faster than taking our other equipment out there and trying to just move it every 10 feet and dig it up and move it, dig it up. But, you know, we're coming along and
You're doing ditch cleaning too now, right?
Yep, that's everything trash. Anything we see that's in our way and going to cause a hazard, we take care of.
Okay. All right, well, let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk. You had active shooter training from the sheriff's office for our county employees yesterday, and I want to know more about that. So we'll be back with more on that in just a minute or so.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
If you remember school or are in school now, you know what the phrase final exam means. The final exam is where you're going to be tested on how well you learned material, possibly from the whole semester, quarter, or year of school. So many students have been stumped at questions on the final exam, and the answers were right there in their textbook all along, possibly even sitting underneath their desk. If only they had spent more time in the book. One day we will all face a final exam. It's what we call the Judgment Day. On that day, we will be compared with how well we followed God's book, the Bible. Too many that day will be stumped too, not because they have to answer a question, but because they cannot understand why they did not pay more attention to God's message in the Bible. You don't have to be stumped. The answers are right there in the book. This has been a brief message from truthfortheworld.org.
And we're back now with Mike Bouvier, one of the commissioners. What district, Mike?
Two.
District 2 commissioner for Washington County. There's three of them, so sometimes I have to think about who is where and what they're doing there. And we were, before we went to the break, we were talking, you guys had active shooter training yesterday, and Sheriff Rick Silver, Washington County Sheriff, started that after one of the last really bad things in California in December. He started offering that to everyone around the county, and I've been given to understand that they're pretty booked up with that, but you guys got in yesterday. And what happens?
Run, hide, fight. Okay. Them are the three main things you learn in active shooter.
Okay.
And they stress this. They had three different officers, four different officers actually, highlighted them: run, hide, fight.
All right. Did y'all actually do that, or they talked about it and gave you a presentation?
They gave us the presentation, just you know, like, you know, if the best thing to do would be
during
not the Columbine. Yeah, well, actually, the Columbine too. The people that ran, they were less susceptible to being, there's a soft target and a hard target. Soft target is the ones who hid under tables and stuff like that,
right,
and didn't move.
Right, because there you are.
And there they were, and mm-hmm. they got shot. And the hard targets were the ones who were moving and running away or fighting. When 9/11 happened, there was one of the planes that crashed.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to stand up and fight, the one in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And that was what they did. If we're going to... You got to realize that these guys are going to kill you, and you need to get in there and do whatever you can. This is self-preservation. You
right.
fight. Do anything you can. Pick up a hammer.
Throw something
pick
at
up
them.
Anything. Throw anything at them. Take your thumbs and dig their eyes out. One of the things that was really interesting to me was if you're at Walmart and there's a shooter, active shooter in the store, and you're running out there and the police are coming to the area, you definitely want, first thing you want to do is put up your hands. Do not keep your phones in your hand. Drop your phone on the ground. You can get that phone later.
Because they just don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is. And when you're looking for an active shooter, they're looking at your hands. That's exactly what
right,
they're looking at.
Right, because that's where your gun will be.
Right. So that was really important to me. And if you are a concealed carry person, do not run and try to shoot the assailant. Just... if you know if he's there and you're trying to save your life, yes, shoot him. Put the gun down, hold your hands up, so they know that you are not the shooter.
Right.
But don't go after him and try to be a big hero.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and this brings up something that happened just last week. I'm sure you heard about this in Denver, and they had a motorcycle show. You heard about that, right?
Yes.
And several people had guns. Now, I'm not sure whether it's concealed carry or open carry, even in Colorado. I don't know. But my feeling is if everybody has a gun out and about and somebody gets mad, that's like road rage. You know, somebody say, and they make them mad, then they shoot you. And I have a concern about that, so... I know you have to fight if somebody is coming after you and you have no choice, but sheriff said not to use your gun, really, unless it's absolutely no other choice.
Yeah,
right?
Just don't go after him. Look at, and one of the other things he said that, you know, like when you, if you don't have a concealed carry, I mean, if you have concealed carry license, but it's concealed. If a shooter is going to come into the place and he sees you with a gun on your hip, he's going to shoot you first.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, you got to think. You got to be aware. Watch all your surroundings. Know where you're at. Don't be in the, you know, set yourself up to get hurt.
Okay. How many county employees took part in that
training? I'd say about 20 or 25,
okay.
maybe.
Okay. All right, was that mostly ladies in the offices?
There was mostly ladies in the offices. There was probably about four men down there.
But, because the ones in the offices are the ones more likely to be in. I mean, your road crews, well, yeah, I guess somebody could shoot at them. But offices is where you go to pay your bills.
Yeah, they have irate customers that come in.
Right.
And they're going to get shot first.
Okay. All right. Good. And do you think that the ladies felt comfortable with the training that they got?
Yes. They felt really good.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Okay. And also, let's see. Well, you are a fundraiser with Special Olympics for the Polar Plunge. And the Polar Plunge is taking place here in Bartlesville tomorrow morning. You don't jump in the water. I don't guess I would want to either. But you can still make a donation even if you don't want to jump in the water. And what do you want to tell us about the Polar Plunge for tomorrow?
Well, Diane said, it's going to start at 10 o'clock
registration.
And it's $75 to register to jump. And there are, if you want to dress up in a costume of any sorts or anything like that.
And they do.
And then they have prizes for the best costume or who makes the, you know, the most
The biggest splash?
Biggest splash, and who gets the most, raises the most funds. Vanessa Drummond and her ladies that always come every year.
The Diving Divas?
The Diving Divas. The last 5 years they've been there, and they've been so gracious and kind to be there, and they're just a lot of fun. We will be at the garden, Hilton Garden, and you can eat breakfast there, and you can have lunch afterwards. And
you said yesterday that if they raise funds for Polar Plunge, they can use the hot tub afterwards. You said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yep, they got a hot tub there, and when if they're jumping in the water,
cold
you can
water,
run over there and jump
in
and keep
and get
you know
warm.
Get warm again.
Get warm again.
Yep.
All right, that will be good. And you're going to be out there tomorrow, though, right?
I'll be there probably about 7:30 in the morning,
setting up
pool.
Yes.
And getting the water put in and getting it all done, getting everything ready for that.
And the pool that you guys use, is it just like a regular backyard swimming pool?
It's a round.
Or is it the blow-up one? The blow-up kind, right? Not the one with the metal.
We have poles all around
okay.
it, and it's not blow-up, though.
Okay.
It's these poles, and then the water goes in it, and just we have to put a little tape on it because there is a lot of holes in there. It may be empty by the time they get there to jump
anybody
in the water.
Anybody have an old pool to donate, you guys might need it, huh?
Yeah.
You could use it. All right, now and then what do? Climb up a ladder and then jump in?
We have a platform that they stand on and jump in.
All right.
And it's really neat because last year and a couple of years, they've had some people that were quite large.
Uh-huh.
And God bless them. You know, they just went up there and jumped in
just
the pool.
Just heck
and,
with it. I'm
yeah,
going.
Yeah, and they just amazing just to see what people do to help these young athletes for the Special Olympics.
All right. And if you don't want to plunge, you can still go and watch because they encourage spectators.
Yes. Come and watch and cheer.
Yell and scream.
Have fun.
And
it'll be a great day.
Make a little donation. You don't have to give $75 to register to jump in the water. You do. But if you just go, want to give them $5, anything is appreciated. The money you guys raise is mainly for all the little stuff like equipment and maybe even things like batteries. That's what that money is used for that you raise, right?
You know, honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
All I know is it's 75% of the money.
I got more than you.
75% of the money stays in Washington County.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Then it helps our Special Olympics athletes right here in the county. And later this year, I believe we were talking yesterday about, I think it's March, that they have our spring games. It's a track meet that they hold at Dewey High School. And I'll have more information when I get more information. I will give it to you because I know they'll need volunteers for that, too,
mm-hmm.
before. And then they have the state games in Stillwater later on in the summer. But Special Olympics, it's good to help them. It's good to see their joy in being able to compete.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you're not supposed to nod at me because we can't hear your brain.
Yes,
thank you. All right. So the Polar Plunge is tomorrow, and registration starts at 10 o'clock. The plunge starts at 11 o'clock. If people have questions about the county, what's the phone number they can call there at the commissioner's office?
918-337-2820.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
And well, my wonderful secretary will answer the phone and put you in
the right... Yep.
Right direction.
All right, good
Hi,
deal.
Hi, Melody.
Give her a shout out. All right, thank you, Mr. Bouvier. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Diane.
Have a good day.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around.